Thank you for joining me today, and I suspect that many of you may have missed yesterday's broadcast if you were out of your usual routine, perhaps commuting between work and home because of the President's Day holiday. If so, you missed a discussion on Revelation 1, verse 14, and what it means that Jesus' head and his hair were white, like white wool, like snow, in John's vision of the Lord standing amidst his churches. And you do not want to miss this for long. So here's what I suggest you do. Jump on 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com and click podcast, the top left corner of the homepage. Then look for God Is. It will be obvious. Click that link. Up comes the free podcast for yesterday. Just click on the link and press play. I really want to encourage you to get that and listen so that you keep current with your own understanding of God's holy and infallible word. If you were here yesterday, same as you always are, great. You are already all caught up and will find the flow easygoing as we move forward in verse 14 in a minute. But I know a lot of people are creatures of habit, and if the broadcast falls on a holiday, it is missed. This is particularly true for people who listen in their cars or on public transportation. Hey, we have a solution. The God Is podcast, free of charge at 590amtheword.com. Should you have any questions about this, email me now. Our eyes are cast on Christ. He is the Son of Man who is in the middle of seven golden lampstands in the Apostle John's vision of heaven. And this is what verse 14 of Revelation 1 says about Jesus. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And so today we ask, what does it mean that his eyes were like a flame of fire? It is a compelling reality, and what's the meaning behind these eyes? Let me be direct. Jesus knows with intricate exactness exactly what is going on in his church and in the world. He knows intimately every detail of your life and mine, and he will assess our lives accordingly. One day, every Christian will come, one by one, not as a group, before the judgment seat of Christ, where we will give an accounting of our lives before our Master Jesus. And one day, later on the timeline of end times events, every person who's not a Christian will come, one by one, not as a group, before the great white throne, where they will be given an accounting of their lives before Jesus Christ. Christians at the judgment seat all go to heaven. People who are not Christians at the great white throne all go to hell. But for both, there stands Jesus Christ, with eyes like a flame of fire. And he stands as our judge. This is what Jesus looks like. This is what God in Christ looks like. And I urge all of us, myself included, to understand this and what follows this week. Jesus is our judge. Those eyes of fire reveal that he burns right through all of our outward appearances and sees directly into our hearts, where the true motives of our lives lie. When Christ burns his way into my heart, what does he see? What does he see in yours? Oh, he knows us better than anyone. He knows us intimately better than we will ever know ourselves. And this is why we are in urgent need of his mercy and compassion, and of salvation by grace alone for our sins, which are many. And what I want to do now is to do some cross-referencing in the Bible and show you where else we find this same truth about Jesus. And then I want to come back and address you on the matter of God's eyes judging all people for all time. Okay? And so let's just stay within the book of the Revelation for now. Listen to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. This is Revelation 2, and I'm going down the page to verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says. I'll leave off there at Revelation 2, verse 18. The Son of God, who is Jesus, has what? Eyes like a flame of fire. Revelation 2 says what Revelation 1 says, consistency. And then, still within the Revelation, we come to this description of Jesus, who will reign for 1,000 years on the earth. In chapter 19 and verse 12, his eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. Isn't that powerful? Fascinating. We do not have time to dwell on this Tuesday, but check out the later portions of Revelation when you have an opportunity to do so. It will engage you with who God is in ways that you underestimate if you've never read this book. His eyes, a flame of fire. Revelation 1 says what Revelation 2 says, what Revelation 19 says. This is the consistency of Scripture. And then let's do this. Go backwards from the Revelation in order and come to Hebrews 4. This is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This verse describes, chillingly, God's eyesight. He has perfect vision. Did you hear that? All things are open and laid bare before God Almighty. This is convicting. There are no secrets with God. He knows all. He is all-knowing. You can fool others, but you can never, ever fool God. And then come with me a little further back in the New Testament, actually right to the start, the first gospel, Matthew's gospel, chapter 10 and verse 26. This is part of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Jesus said this, and Jesus is 100% trustworthy. The eyes of God are always watching, and Jesus' own eyes are a flame of fire. The Bible repeatedly affirms this great truth, as we have just seen together in these texts. And I do not know what your reaction is to this. This may seem like it doesn't affect you much. You're a busy person after all. Your life is full of constant demands. Maybe you're consumed with the reality that your life is out of control. Your energy is totally depleted. You feel broken. You feel like a shattered piece of glass, 1,000 little pieces. And I'm on here talking about the eyes of Jesus being a flame of fire. How is this relevant? How can you relate? First, that's a very fair thing to wonder. Second, let me see if I can just give you one way to think about how the eyes of Christ, as they penetrate your life, actually matters to you here and now. All right? Since Jesus sees us and sees through us with eyes on fire, then why try to hide anything from him? If we play the masquerade, we lose. So why do we try to host such a party in our lives? You do know what a masquerade is, don't you? It's a party where persons wearing masks and often costumes come together disguised to sing and dance. This involves a guessing game. Who is that behind the mask? But Jesus already knows who you are. So one way to make sense of Revelation 1 verse 14b is for you to say, I'm going to stop wearing my mask, covering up the person I really am, Lord, and I'm going to come before you laid bare and talk with you about the truth of my sin against others, against myself, and my sin against you. This means prayer. When's the last time you prayed without trying to hide anything from the Lord? When's the last time you prayed? Let's start with that. Have you thrown up sheepish thoughts to God on occasion? Or have you given time and space to your prayers and brought yourself before the Lord and said, almost along with the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Tell him about your sin. Admit to him what he already knows, what he sees, but go on and say it to him. This is what we call confession of sin, and nowhere in the New Testament does it say you go to a priest in a confessional to do this. No. You do it directly with God whenever there is territory for meaningful prayer. If you'll do this, I think you'll find immediate application to today's Bible passage. Jesus' eyes were like a flame of fire. And we are asking what this means. My answer is that Jesus knows with intricate exactness exactly what is going on in his church and in the world. Christians are his church, and so this applies to us. But this also applies to the world beyond the church. The flaming eyes of the Lord are also searching every person who has ever lived, is living, and will live. And so if you're not a Christian today, this is for you. Or if you are the loved one of someone who has not yet trusted Christ for forgiveness of sin, then this applies to your loved one. This applies to your colleagues, friends, to everyone you follow on social media, all your favorite performers, singers, athletes, and waitresses. At present, my favorite Old Testament prophet that I'm reading and studying is Habakkuk. I turned to him recently, honestly, because I'm concerned about the very poor spiritual condition of people in America. America, in my view, is definitely not a Christian nation. And Habakkuk wrestles deeply before God with why the Lord will bring judgment rather than revival to the ancient Israelite people and prophetically to all his people. You can read Habakkuk. It's only 3 chapters and they are stimulating. But listen to this theme of God's eyes again in his writing. This is Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Habakkuk tells the truth about God. He cannot ever approve evil. And so the prophet asks, how can your pure eyes look on it? And in this context, which you will see if you read the book, why don't you, God, do something to get rid of this wretched evil? Notice the eyes. Your eyes are too pure. This mirrors John. Jesus' eyes are a flame of fire. The eyes. The eyes of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Think soberly about his eyes, my friends. Jesus' eyes look at us as they looked at the Apostle John in his vision, like a flame of fire. And what about the exalted and glorified feet of Christ? What do his feet look like? We'll answer that from Revelation 1 tomorrow. I hope that you'll be back for that. Remember to download yesterday's podcast if you missed our time together or want to hear it again. And then back in your daily routine, be here next time, for God is...